many guys know what the taste of lye soap is? Have you ever tasted soap before? Now, if you grew up in the 90s, you knew what soap tasted like. Not because you were hungry one day and you decided, hey, you know what? That soap looks very good. Let me try to snack on that soap. So, no, you didn't try that because you wanted to. You were forced to eat the soap or put it in your mouth because of something you said, right? Can anybody agree with that, right? Has anybody ever experienced that before? And so you know what soap tastes like, right? And so this was actually a punishment. I mean, nowadays, take tablets away from kids or phones away from kids. But back in those days, whenever I was growing up, if you said something disrespectful, if you said a curse word, or if you said something you should not have said, mean or ugly towards someone else, you were getting the lava soap in your mouth. And I just remember that lava green soap. It was nasty. Nasty. Soap should not go in your mouth. It goes on your body. It cleans your body. But nonetheless, I remember every minute that went by, and you dare not swallow this stuff because it was, you know, so nasty. You wouldn't want that to go into your system. And so, I mean, you're counting down the minute. I don't know if it was a minute for you or 5 minutes for you. I think it was five for me, where you know, because I was that bad. You know, my mouth needed that much cleansing, and that's what our parents would say. I'm gonna wash your mouth out with soap, and they wasn't kidding. They did it literally, and I believe. You know, hey, maybe, you know, it was very effective because I didn't want to do that again. You know, after putting that soap in my mouth, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch my words, well, at least around you guys, you know, at least around my parents. I'm going to watch what I say because I don't want soap in my mouth again. It was very, maybe we should bring that back. I don't know. Maybe we should bring it back. Think about it. Pray to the Lord. But anyway, so there were consequences to our words that we said, because our words are powerful. You guys know that our words are powerful, that you have the ability to speak either life or death with your words, that with your words you can go to someone who's maybe lacking hope, and you can begin to speak life into that situation and breathe hope once again in their life, that with your words that you can go to someone who maybe has no faith in God, and you can begin to share your testimony and share all the good things that God has done in your life and begin to build faith with your words. You can speak life or you can speak death with your words. There's so much power, and my parents realized that there's power in your words, and if you're going to speak anything that is amiss, there's going to be a consequence for those words. And so today, we want to talk about our words, we want to talk about our mouths, and we want our mouths to be pleasing unto God. In other words, we want what we say, that God would say it, that God would approve of what we say. And so our main scripture today is Psalms 19, verse 14. So if you have your Bibles, this is our main verse. I want to repeat this verse several times so that by the time you leave here today, it is stuck in your memory, it is stuck in your minds, because it's such a powerful scripture. Now, there was a study done, and over 400 participants were in this study, and both men and women. And it was estimated, or it came about, that there is about 16,000 words that we speak in a day. I believe maybe some people speak a little bit more than that. I don't know if you fall into that category. I don't know. But it came to be that we speak about 16,000 words in a day. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of potential to impact someone's life, either for good or for bad. So that's a lot of opportunity for that. Now, our scripture today is found in the book of Psalms, and it was written by a man named King David. Anybody knows who David is? Man, he's a man after God's own heart. So it was believed to be written around 1015 BC. So this is before Christ came, 1015. So that's about 3,039 years ago. That's a long time ago. But how many of you guys know that God's word was just as relevant then and is just as relevant now? That God's word is absolute truth, and it was powerful then and it was powerful now. And when we apply the absolute truth of God's word to our lives, that we will benefit greatly. So let's look at this. In Psalms 19, verse 14, it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my, let's all read it together. One, two, three. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So one of the very first things that we want is our words to glorify God. Our words are to bring God glory. And there are several ways that we can do this, and we're going to get into that in just a moment. But when we consider words, what are words? And you know, looking at this, and there's a science behind this, there's actually about 100 muscles or so that is used to bring about sound and used to bring about speech. In fact, we have like a little diagram that we can show you guys some of these different muscles. And so you guys may know of your tongue, right? We use our tongue to articulate words. We have lips and muscles around the lips that open and close your lips. You have jaw muscles that open and close your jaw to allow air movement going in and out. You have the larynx, which is, you know, whenever it's moving, it's producing vibrations and producing sounds. We have the diaphragm, which helps you to breathe while you and prevents your vocal cords from being overwhelmed. And we have abdominal muscles. Believe it or not, your stomach and your abdomen actually help in the process of pronunciation of your words. And so there's a lot that goes into your words coming about. And all this, when we think of this, we think of the human anatomy, and we think of how intricate that we are designed, we can't help but think, wow, what a creative God. What a creative God. That we're not a result of a cosmic accident, but we are a result of God intentionally forming us in our mother's womb. He intentionally gave us a mouth. He intentionally gave us lips. He intentionally made all these parts of the human body to work in conjunction with each other so that we can bring God glory unto him. We can use our mouths to bring God the glory. Amen? And so just like with anything, speaking requires muscle memory. So whenever you are a child, you have to learn how to speak. You have to learn how to open your mouth and formulate words. Just as it is with sports or anything else, or playing an instrument. We have instrument players at our house. And you know, at first, whenever they start grabbing that instrument, that clarinet or whatever it may be, you know, all I hear is squeaking and squawking. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, you know, I'm like, maybe we should do a cowbell or something. I don't know. But, you know, eventually they begin to get it, right? They begin to learn how to use their lips and push the right amount of air and get a pretty sound coming out of that instrument. And so it's all muscle memory. And so it is with, I believe, speaking the things, good things, and things that are pleasing unto God. We have to train ourselves in godliness. How many of you guys know that whenever you were in the world, before you came to Christ, that your words were not very pleasing unto God, right? Like you probably said some things that were not pleasing unto God. Hey, that's why I had the lava soap in my mouth. They were not pleasing to God. And so we by our own nature, we're sinful people, and we're inclined to do sinful things. We're inclined to say sinful things. But it's as the Lord begins to work on the inside of our hearts, as the Lord begins to change us, begins to change our hearts, it begins to change our mind, then naturally our words that come out of our mouth will also begin to change. So our words, we're to glorify God with our words. So how do we do that? I believe one way that we can do that is by giving thanks. You know, you can complain about everything. If you wanted to, you can find something to complain about this morning. Or you can find something to be grateful for this morning. So recently, this past week, or it might have been the week before, I had I pulled up in my house and I realized I had this big screw inside of my tire. And you know, I just got this truck, you know, but I've been having it for a year, and so I was like, oh man, really, you know? And so I had a moment right there. Well, am I going to complain about having this screw in my tire? Or am I going to be thankful that I have a truck that is able to pick up screws in my tire. Amen. So there is different perspectives, right? And so I can say, well, Lord, thank you for this truck that I do have. Thank you for the ability that I am able to get this thing fixed. Thank you that, Lord, you have blessed me and you have always been my provider. Rather than complaining, I decided to give thanks. And how much more we would be like Christ if instead of complaining about everything, that we would begin to find something to be grateful for. Because there is so much to be grateful for, amen? How many guys woke up this morning? Every one of us. How many guys, you stepped out of bed? You have food to eat. You have shelter. You have clothing to wear. All of you are dressed this morning. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. You are all dressed. You have clothes. There's something to be grateful for. Psalms 118, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So if you didn't have a reason before to give thanks to the Lord, you can give thanks because he is good. And he is always good. He remains to be good. Whenever you're not good, God is still good. That's a reason to give thanks this morning. That's a reason to thank you. God, I thank you for your goodness. I'm going to use my mouth to glorify your name by giving thanks unto my God. Amen. If you need another reason to give thanks this morning, it says, for his steadfast love endures forever. His love towards you endures forever and ever and ever. He loves you. What another reason to be thankful for this morning. Amen. So there's a reason that we can glorify God through our words by giving thanksgiving unto our God. What about through praise and worship? Worshiping our God, opening up our mouths, using that instrument that God has designed to sing his praises, to sing his songs of praise and thanksgiving. Look at Psalms 96, verse 1, where the command is to sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. So we are commanded through scriptures to, hey, look, don't just come into a Sunday morning setting and say, oh, wow, I like that song. That sounds really good, yeah. No, you open up your mouth and begin to sing and declare the praises of our God. Sing unto the Lord, for he is good. Give glory unto God by using your mouth. What about through everyday conversations? In Psalms 107, verse 1 or 2, where it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble. Are there any redeemed people in this place? Then you need to say so, right? You need to say so. What does that mean? You begin to tell others of what the Lord has done in your life. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And as you do this, you're bringing glory unto God with your mouth. So then my next point is this, is that a good heart equals good words. A good heart equals good words. So we're going to use our words to bring God glory. And the way that our words become good is by the transformation of our heart. Last week we talked about getting rid of our stinking thinking, right? Those negative thoughts, those thoughts that are not of God, and how we need to get rid of those thoughts. Because from the, as those thoughts begin, as we begin to think about those thoughts, that's what eventually will come out of your mouth. And so we're building on this. We want to make sure that we're putting, that we have a good heart and that good things are going into our heart. If you're listening to music that is, disrespectful towards women or very vulgar or whatever it may be, or lots of cursing or lots of whatever it may be, then that's what's going into your heart. And eventually that is what will come out of your mouth. And so there's a neurosurgeon who graduated from Harvard Medical School, and he says this about speech. He says, speech begins with forming a thought, and it ends with articulation of that thought. What occurs in between is a series of computations to select words and place them in the appropriate linguistic order to convey the intended meaning. And so whenever you're having a conversation with somebody, you know thousands of words. But in order to speak those words, your brain has to grab this word and put it in place. And it has to grab the next word and put it in place. And then all together makes this sentence where it is understandable to someone else. And so, but we realize that it starts with our thoughts. That our speech and the things that come out of our mouth come from our minds. It comes from our thoughts. So let's read Psalms 19:14 again, where it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So David, he's praying this, and to me it's fascinating that David would pray such a prayer. I mean, can really a human being who is flawed and sinful and inclined to do sinful things, can his words really be pleasing unto God? David surely thought so. He's like, "God, let my thoughts be pleasing unto you. Let my words." In other words, so we talked about this thinking. If there's any thoughts in my life that is not lining up with your word, God, that I would not think about such things. If there's any thoughts that says I am this whenever you are saying I am that, God, let me not think about such things. But let the meditations of my heart, let the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you. And right before this, he says in the verse 13, he talks about, God, even keep me from presumptuous sins. Because David knew that our presumptuous sins has something to do with preventing us from being acceptable to God. How many of you guys know that sin separates us from God? And that if there's sin in our hearts, then surely sin will come out of your mouth. If you have, you know, just poured in sin, if you've allowed sinfulness and wickedness into your heart, then that is what will come out. But if on the contrary, if you've filled yourself with the Word of God, right? If you fill yourself with Scripture, you read the Scriptures, you meditate on the Scriptures, then that also will come out. The Lord says this in Proverbs 15:29, says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous." He is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. So David, in order for David to get to this point where he's praying, "God, let the meditations of my heart, let the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you," David knew a few things to be true. In fact, he knew that God's law and his word is absolute truth. And we have to have this understanding. If we're going to have thoughts that are pleasing unto him, if we're going to have speech that is pleasing unto God, then we must know what is pleasing unto God. And how do we know what is pleasing unto God? The absolute truth of God's word. He lays it out for us. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelations, he lets us know what is pleasing, what is truthful, what is wholesome, what is righteous, what is ungodly. He lets us know. And so in order for us to have speech that is pleasing unto God, we must be assured of the absolute truth of his word. Do you know with certainty that God's word is the absolute truth in your life? Like, there is no other truth. Now, we stand on the word of God. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Not through Mary, not through the saints, not through any other means, but it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is absolute truth. And David says that in verse 7 of that same passage. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." And so right before he gets to the point of saying, "God, let the meditations of my heart and let the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you," he has this understanding of God's word. And in fact, this whole Psalms, just kind of at the very beginning of this Psalms, kind of talks about just the perfection of God, the perfection of his word, the perfection of God, knowing God through his creation, knowing God through the created world, knowing God through his word. Looking at, you know, so when we talk about truth, we talk about the truth of God's word. You know, the opposite of truth is a lie. And so if you're a person who's known just for lying all the time, then guess what? The words of your mouth are not very pleasing unto God. In fact, it would say this in Proverbs 12:22. It says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. And so if you have a problem with lying, if you have a problem with fibbing or embellishing the situation or lying, let's just call it as it is, then ask the Lord to help you in that area. Ask the Lord, say, God, I don't want to lie anymore. I want my words to be truthful. I want my words to line up with the absolute truth of God's word. I want my words to be pleasing. I do not want to lie anymore. I do not want to pretend that it is so whenever it is not. God, I want to be truthful in all that I am. Looking at, I want to go to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 43 to 45. Where it talks about words, it talks about from the abundance of our heart. And let's look at it where it says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So we all understand this idea, right? How many guys, what is your favorite fruit to eat? Shout it out. Apples. I heard apples. Anybody like satsumas in this place? I love me some satsumas. So if you have some extras, just send them my way. I'm just saying, I love satsumas. And so we understand the concept, and we have hope gardens going on outside where these kids were able to plant some different things, that if we take that satsuma seed and we plant it in the ground, then we expect a satsuma tree to form from that seed, right? And eventually that tree will produce some fruit. It will produce satsumas, right? It's not going to produce bananas. It's not going to produce peaches or any other thing. It's going to only produce what that seed was made to produce. Same is true with an apple. If you plant that apple seed into the ground, it's going to produce an apple tree, which will eventually produce fruit, apple fruit. Now, you would never expect to plant a satsuma seed and reap apples. That would be ridiculous, right? And so the seed that is sown into the ground will actually produce the plant that it was intended to produce. So what he's saying here in regards to our words, look at that last part again. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth will speak. Uh-oh. What's coming out of your mouth? Because that reveals to me what's in your heart. And so if the continual thing that comes out of your mouth is hatred, you have hatred in your heart. If the continual thing that comes out of your mouth is disbelief, you have disbelief in your heart. What's in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. And so that's why it's so important that we're putting good things in our heart, that we're allowing the seed of God's word. And I believe if you are a Christian in this place today, that the seed of the Holy Spirit is planted on the inside of you. And that as you begin to water that seed, it will begin to grow and produce much fruit in your life. That people will look at you and say, oh, you're a Christian. And how will they know that? Because they see the fruit. Or how will they know that? Because they hear what's coming out of your mouth. Your mouth is only a replicating what is inside of your heart. So, are our words edifying one another? Are our words tearing each other down? Are our words being divisive? Or are our words building each other up? So which leads me to our next point, is that our words are to edify others. And God has given you that mouth. We talked about the creativeness of God and his intentionality in giving you a mouth and placing you in a body of many members of the church. He gave you a mouth to edify the body of Christ. He gave you a mouth to speak life, not death into others. I want to look at two scriptures. One is in chapter 4 of Ephesians, and the next one is chapter 5 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." So we do not want corrupt talk, but we want to build each other up with our words and give grace to those who hear our words. Look at Ephesians 5, 1 through 5, is where it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God." Now, that's a pretty high standard, I would say. If we are to imitate God, and God is the ultimate standard of perfection, and we are to be like God, we are to imitate him with our words. He says, "As beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." Got quiet all of a sudden when we started reading descriptions of how our speech should be. So they give us some do's and some don'ts in these two passages. Do, build up each other. Build up one another. Do, imitate God in your speech. Do, walk in love. And do, give thanks. When was the last time that you thanked God for something? Maybe a trial that you're going through. But when was the last time you actually said, "God, I just want to thank you. I want to use my mouth to glorify you." When was the last time you built someone up, that you encouraged them? They were down, they were depressed, they were hopeless, whatever it may be, and you used your words to build that person up. They were in disbelief. They weren't sure about the things of God, but yet you used your words to say, "No, God is real, and he loves you with an unconditional love." When was the last time that you used your words in such a way? But then he gives us some don'ts. Don't let corrupt talk come out of your mouth. He says, don't talk about impure or filthy things. I mentioned before, but there's this one guy I used to work with at in the office. And every time that he would come around, I just knew either to put my earbuds in or to walk away or get away from that conversation, because it was always going to be filthy. It was always going to be disgusting. It was always going to be perverted. And so I had to get away from this guy. And it never failed. Every single time, this was the case. But the scripture tells us to stay away from filthy language. Stay away from this. And then another don't would be, don't be crude, which is being vulgar, rude, or racist. Don't participate in such things. You know, don't let that be in your heart. But let us be filled with love one towards another. Amen. And so the way that we gauge our hearts is by take a moment. Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. What is the abundance of the heart that the mouth is speaking? Let that be a challenge before you today. So, again, a person full of hatred, a person full of envy, they will begin to tear others down. They will begin to belittle others. They will, you know, because that is what's in their heart. Now, we cannot expect the world to act like Christ, but we can expect Christians who bear the name Christ to act like Christ. The world is going to be full of hate. The world will hate, and they will use their mouths for hate, because that is what's in their heart. But those of us who are saved, we have the love of God on the inside of our heart. Therefore, there should be a transformation. Our speech should look different than the rest of this world. Amen? There should be a difference. A person who is not willing to conform to the image of Christ Jesus will always try to justify his or her actions, because that is what's in the heart. A person just walking in unbelief will continue to spew that out from their heart. But as Christians, as believers, and I believe we look at that verse one more time where David says this. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So David knew something about this. He says, I can't do this on my own. Like, it is not in me to produce speech that is pleasing unto God. I can't do it in and of myself. So he says, I need your strength, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. I need your strength to help me to speak things that are pleasing unto you. God, I cannot even please you on my own. I need you to please you. So he cries out, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And before you were in Christ, before Christ came into your heart, most of us will say, yeah, I didn't really have a filter, right? Whatever was on your mind, you pretty much spoke it. It wasn't, oh, bless the Lord of my soul. It was more like, it was other things, right, that we had repented from. But there's a difference now. You are in Christ, and Christ has changed your life. Our speech should bring glory unto God, amen? And so we should build one another up, refrain from these crude jokings and different things, and really begin to walk in love one towards another. So we challenge you this morning to listen to your words. Listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth. And really answer the question, is it love? Would God be pleased with your speech? Would God be pleased with the meditations of your heart, the things that you are thinking about, the things that you meditate on? Would God be pleased? I pray that that is your heart's desire. You know, as Christians, as believers, that should be our desire. I want to please God in every aspect of my life. God, I want everything to be pleasing unto you for your glory and your glory alone. God, that's why I live. That's why I move. That's why I have my being. That's why you've given me a mouth to speak. It's for your glory. God, I want my words to bring glory unto you. You know, you may be struggling with cursing. And I did, you know, like before I got saved. And I remember the right after I got saved, I was making some changes, and then all of a sudden, boom, the F word just slipped out of my mouth. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I said this. This was after I got saved. And I remember just being around some of my friends who were not saved, and they were not Christian. They were like, don't worry about it, man. We know that you're on the right path, you know. And so they were gracious towards me, and I was thankful. But I said, God, I don't want that in my life. And perhaps you struggle where you slip up here and there. I want you to know, just as David prayed, God, let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you. That the Lord can begin to change even your speech. He'll give you new words to say. You know, sometimes it's funny. Sometimes I would say like, oh, joy to the world. I don't know why I say that, but it's better than cursing, right? It's better than saying something negative and something that means nothing. But I have something else. The Lord has given me new speech. Or instead of cursing the name of God, I say, God, I just bless you in this moment. I praise your glorious name. God, I lift you up. God, I give thanks. You find something. Let him give you new speech. Let him give you new words in your heart, because you are a new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. And perhaps you struggle with lying this morning. Ask the Lord to take that from you, because lying is an abomination to the Lord. Ask him to remove that lying tongue from your mouth, where you only speak truth. You only speak the truth according to the word of God. Whatever it may be, perhaps you're in this place and you're like, you just have a hard time just saying kind things. Like that just like, it's just so hard for you to be kind. And we live in a world, if you're not rooted in Christ, it's hard to be kind. I mean, if we're to be honest, right? Because we see so much. We see so much wickedness. We see so much evil. We see so much perversion. We see so many people who blaspheme the name of the Lord. So many people who are living lives that are contrary to the word of God. But the Bible says if we walk according to the spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. That's even in our speech. If we are in tune with what God is saying, then he will place a guard over your mouth. How many guys ever maybe messed up with your mouth before, even after being saved, and immediately you felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Like, you shouldn't have said that. Hey, I've messed up as a pastor. I've said things. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have said it. Not curse words, but, I mean, just maybe I should have addressed the situation differently. And the Holy Spirit, and he quickens your heart. He's like, yeah, you shouldn't have said that. That lets us know that, hey, look, God's working on us, right? That God is working in us. Thank God for the conviction. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That lets us know that we are his child, that we belong to him. No, we're not perfect. But we're aiming towards perfection. We serve a perfect and righteous God, and he is living on the inside of us. And because he is living on the inside of us, life should be coming out of us. He should be the abundance of our heart. He should be the abundance of our thoughts, and he should be the abundance of our words. What comes in must come out. Amen. Lord, we thank you and we praise you in this place. Lord, as we want to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, we know that our words play a big part in this. God, we pray that we would use our words to glorify your name. Lord, that we would use our words to edify one another, to build one another up. Lord, that we would use our words, Lord God, just as you designed us to, Lord, to speak life and not death. Build up and not tear down. In Jesus' name. Lord, place a guard over our mouths. Maybe you have to pray that prayer this morning. Maybe you have to, like David, say, God, I need some help with my words. I want my words to be pleasing unto you. God, I need your help. Would you help me? I just want you to know if that is your prayer today, that the Lord is able to help you. The Lord is able to help you with your words. And so, Lord, we pray that prayer today, just as David prayed. And we ask, Lord, for your strength, for your might, not ours, oh God, to guard our tongues, to guard our lips from speaking anything that is evil. And let the abundance of our heart, God, just be filled with Jesus. That Jesus begins to come out, that his love begins to come out of our mouths, that his kindness begins to come out of our mouths. Lord, we want to be more like you each and every day. We love you and we give you all the praise in this place today. In Jesus' name.